listening to the Save the Marriage podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
It was my son's seventh grade year, and I was the basketball coach for the team. Now, I've got to admit, I'm not a great basketball player. I didn't play in college. I didn't play in high school. And so I knew I wasn't coming in with a whole lot of skills to teach the boys about basketball. I played, you know, I shot hoops and I played when I was younger, but I was never a pro. I was never great. And so I came in feeling like I was a little off center, but I needed to do the coaching mainly because nobody else was stepping up, mainly because they needed a coach. And I was available. So there I was coaching the team and doing my best to give them the best advice I could. I'd been reading books. We were doing scrimmages. We were, you know, doing all the drills. And I was working hard to be the best coach I could be for those players. One of the things I decided was a great coach for them would be a coach that was making sure that they were having a good time, making sure that they all had play time, and making sure they knew how to work as a team. So those were the skills I was trying to translate across to them. And I felt pretty good at it. But one day in scrimmage, I had two players, one offense, one defense, and they really were good players. And there was the offensive player dribbling the ball and staring at the defense. And there was the defensive player with his arms up in great position, doing everything right, but standing there looking at the offense. And they just had a standoff, and the seconds were counting, and I was waiting for some action. The ball kept dribbling, and he was just standing in position watching the defense. The defense was standing in position watching the offense, taking no moves, not trying to swat the ball, not trying to move closer, just standing there with his arms, you know, kind of in a defensive posture. He was in great position. The offensive player, I had no complaints about how he was standing and how he was dribbling and protecting the ball, but nothing was happening. So finally, I called time and I walked out and I looked at my offensive player and I said, "What are you doing?" And he looked at me and he said, "I'm looking to see what he's going to do." And I turned to the defensive player and I said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm looking to see what he's going to do." Now, obviously, the defensive person needed to have an eye on the offense. And the offensive person needed to be watching some about what the defense was doing. The problem was that both were waiting for the other to do something. Neither one was acting. Neither one was playing their own game. Both were trying to play the other person's game. So you might be wondering, what does that have to do with saving my marriage? What does that have to do with this whole process? Well, it has a lot to do, because what I've heard over the last few weeks is a lot of people saying, "I'm confused. I don't know what to do anymore. I'm confused by what my spouse is doing." And so what I've realized is what they're really telling me is there's this up and down thing that's going on in the relationship, and they're not sure what that means. What happens is at times they're sensing this great connection with the spouse, that things have gotten better in some ways and they think they're making progress and they're feeling these moments of connection and warmth. And then suddenly they feel disconnection. Suddenly they feel a spouse who's moving away from them and a spouse who's pulling away at this relationship. And then they have another moment of great connection, followed by another moment of disconnection. Or they might have this time when a spouse suddenly is very empathetic with them and is asking how they're doing and is wondering what's going on with them, followed by moments of great distance between them where the spouse seems to not care at all about the impact on the other person. And so this empathy distance piece and this connection disconnection thing. And then there are those times when I hear from people saying, "You know, we had these warmth, you know, we were having dinner and it was so warm and it was so wonderful. And all of a sudden it went ice cold." Or, "We were out shopping and everything was warm. And then we got home and everything was ice cold." Or, "I was texting and everything was going well and there was some warmth and then suddenly everything went cold." And so each time the person says, "I'm confused. I'm not sure what I should do." So as many times as I've heard that over the last week, I wanted to make a statement that this is something that I'm sharing. This process that I'm talking about today was something that I'm sharing this week with my VIP members. That's the virtual intensive program members. And the virtual intensive program members have access to asking questions, getting my feedback. And I also give a period of training each week. And that training is designed to move them ahead. Now, the reason I provide that extra training there is because then we can have a conversation about what happens. We can have a conversation about the training. So I wanted to take a segment of this and the training that I provide there and give you a piece of it. What to do about it, the specifics about it, I reserve that for the virtual intensive program members, because then we can have a dialogue. But I wanted to help you understand what this confusion is about, because I found myself saying the same thing several times this week and last week, and that is that you can deal with the confusion or you can deal with the connection. But if you find yourself confused, you're probably not connecting. And so it's confusion or connection. That's your choice, confusion or connection. So let's talk about why you can't do both. When you're confused, you're doing like the basketball players. You're staring at each other, waiting to see what the other person is doing, because confusion comes from doing a couple of things. First, confusion comes from trying to read the tea leaves. You've probably heard me say this multiple times, but don't read the tea leaves. So let me tell you what I mean by don't read the tea leaves. This saying has so much depth for me because of my background. You probably also heard me say that as a teenager, I did a lot of magic shows. And as part of being a magician, I had lots of contact with other magicians. And as part of being connected with a bunch of magicians, I also met a bunch of very interesting characters. I've met the ventriloquists in the area and the jugglers and the fire eaters and the sideshow people that would come to town, the carny world that would come to town every now and then. We would go out and talk with the carnies. And one of those carnies that I met was an old woman who advertised herself as the gypsy fortune teller. And this old woman, I don't know if she was truly from a gypsy background, but this old woman really believed that she could read fortunes. She wasn't pretending. She wasn't faking people out. She really was reading fortunes. And her way of doing it was to put some tea, some loose tea, into an old porcelain cup. And she would pour some hot water. The person would be sitting in front of her, and she would pour some hot water. And the person that she's reading the fortune would take some sips of the tea, and she would swirl it around and toss out some water and swirl it around. And the old woman would then look down in the tea leaves. And she would look for patterns in those tea leaves to tell the fortune of what was going to happen for that person. And so when she would swirl it around and look down, she was looking for a way of configuration in those tea leaves, a way that it would fit together. So always looking for a pattern, and the pattern meant something for her. The problem is that, in my view, that's exactly what people do. They're looking for patterns and behavior, but they're missing some important stuff. Like, they're missing the thoughts that are behind those patterns of behavior. So they don't know what's causing it. For instance, sometimes people act connected because they need some connection. And sometimes people act disconnected because they're frustrated about something else in life. And sometimes people are empathetic because it suddenly has occurred to them that they've hurt somebody else's feelings, and then suddenly they become distant because they don't want to be pulled into it. But sometimes it has nothing to do with that whatsoever. Sometimes you're reading patterns in where there aren't any patterns. And so as I watched this gypsy woman, I realized that what she was really doing was making assumptions about the patterns. And the cool thing about when you foretell the future, especially in a carnival, is the people go off and live their lives and you have no idea whether there's accuracy to it or not. The woman believed that she could read fortunes, but she had no way of challenging that. You know, no one would let her know down the road whether it worked or not. There was no accountability to it. That's a little bit different than what happens in a relationship, because you know exactly the outcome as things progress along, but you don't know in the moment. So when things don't seem to be going well, you don't know the whole story. You don't know how it's going to finish up. And so part of what happens when we read tea leaves is we get so sucked into looking at the pattern that we come to believe that we know something that we really don't. We're making assumptions about what's going on. And part of what happens in this process is that reading the tea leaves changes your behavior. For instance, if you have a plan and you're not reading the tea leaves, you're just going to work your plan. You're going to keep working on your plan. You do have a plan, don't you? Because if you don't, you need to have a plan on working to save your relationship. That's one of the things that I really talk about in the VIP program. In fact, I even have a program there, a resource that's a fill-in-the-blank plan to save your marriage. And the plan is there to create a written document for you to follow. If you don't have a plan, and I'm not talking about, do you have some thoughts in your head about what you want to do? Do you have some thoughts that have come out of using the system? Do you really have a plan? If you don't have a plan, then you're going to be reading the tea leaves because you're going to be like my basketball players. What I was trying to give them was a plan of action of how the offense should move, of plays that the offense should do. And so while my guard was there dribbling the ball, he was not making a play. He was not following our plan. And I also had a plan for the defensive players on how they needed to press when somebody is standing there and how they needed to move when somebody's standing there and how they needed to cut off the lanes for the player when somebody's standing there. But my defensive player wasn't playing his plan either. Both people were staring there waiting for some action to react to. And there's the problem. Reaction. Whenever you don't have a plan, you're always reacting to the situation at hand. You're never getting ahead of it because you're always in reaction mode. And whenever you're sitting there confused by what your spouse is doing, what you're telling me is confusion is about static. You can't be confused when you're in the midst of action because you're busy with your plan. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to completely ignore all of the actions of your spouse, but you can't get wrapped up in the actions of your spouse. You have to work within your plan. So when I watch people be confused, I know that they're going to be reading the tea leaves. They're looking for something out there. Don't read the tea leaves. I know that they have either a lack of plan or a lack of execution of their plan. They either don't have a plan at all, or they're not working the plan they have. And the last part is that there's a lack of clarity. And several different clarities. First, there's the lack of clarity about your why. Whatever your spouse is doing, if you have a very clear understanding of your why, of why you're saving your relationship, then you know how you're going to move forward. You know how you're going to keep acting because you have your reason why you're acting that way. Also, a lack of clarity about your own growth. When we're in the process of saving a relationship, there are only certain things that we have control over. You have control over how you move towards your spouse, how you connect, and how you work to change yourself, to improve yourself, to grow to a different place, and how you understand and create a new path for your relationship. Those are my three C's that I talk about in my book, How to Save Your Marriage in Three Simple Steps. It is connect with your spouse, change yourself. That doesn't mean you have to fix yourself. It doesn't mean something's wrong with you. It means you need to be on a growth pattern and then create a new path for your relationship. So whenever I hear people saying I'm confused, I recognize that there's a lack of clarity you have in your own growth, your own creation of that method of where you want to get to. And you also have a lack of clarity about your role in the process. Your role is not to be always reacting to the spouse, but responding to situations and moving from your plan. That's your role, to be your best self, to show up in the relationship, to be your best self coming forward in the relationship. And so whenever I hear it, whenever I hear that statement, I'm confused. I know that that hasn't happened. The reality is that this process has ups and downs. Sometimes it can be very confusing, but only if you're looking at a moment, a snapshot in time, not looking at the overall process, not looking at how things need to move along. You're not taking a 30,000-foot view. You're taking that momentary view as you're walking through the woods and you're confused because now suddenly the tree's in front of you and now the tree's off to the side, and that can be very confusing. But go up 30,000 feet. What is your ultimate goal? Not what is the moment. Not what is the second, not what has this day held, but where are you trying to get to? Don't get confused. Play your game. Make sure you stick with your game plan. Make sure you stick with your plan. Make sure you stick with your approach to this. Now, if you need help, the first place to start is to grab my system, the Save the Marriage system. You can grab that at savethemarriage.com. If you already have that and you're still wanting to step into something great, my virtual intensive program is designed to walk you through, with me giving you feedback and advice, with you having other resources, how to get to that next level, how to make sure that you're maintaining yourself and moving forward. So if you find yourself confused, it's time to step back. It's time to make sure you're playing your game and make sure you have the resources at hand to make sure that you can keep playing your game. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.